case you missed it, it's Pentecost today. And today in our stories, as we hear that the Holy Spirit comes and enters in, and we know that we need this Spirit to come. Hear why Jesus wants to send to us this advocate from the Father. It is the Spirit that will lead us into all truth. It is the Spirit that will help us in our weaknesses. Without this Spirit, we will not be able to discern the things of God, and we will not be strengthened and empowered to live as we should, or to bear witness to God's deeds of power. And yet, of course, as we also hear in our story today, the Spirit works in unexpected and unanticipated ways, that it's difficult for us to recognize the movement of the Spirit. And so that's what's going on in our first reading today. Of course, we gather here and are very familiar with this reading from Acts, that we expect almost this great and rushing wind and flames of fire to appear over people's heads and people to hear in their own language God's deeds of power in their own native tongue. And so we just think that that's what should happen when the Spirit shows up. But of course, for those who were there on this first Pentecost, these were surprising things indeed. They had no idea what was going on. They gather because they see this great and amazing sight, and then we hear that there is great perplexity among them. What does this mean? Very Lutheran question, but one that they are struggling with, because this is outside of their realm of experience. This is outside of anything they would have expected to experience on this Pentecost day that they were gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate, and yet they wonder, what is going on here? And amazingly, there are those who offer an answer that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Those who sneer and say that they are filled with new wine. That must be what's going on, as people are speaking coherently in multiple languages about God's deeds of power. And so what we see going on here, even though this makes no sense, is they're trying to take something that is beyond their ability to understand and put it back into some frame of reference. I've never seen God's Holy Spirit work and have flames of fire come and everything, but I've seen drunk people before, and so maybe that's what's going on. That's what happens when people around me don't make sense to me. So I'm going to thrust it back into the container of the world that will already make sense to me. But of course, as Jesus tells us in our gospel lesson, the Spirit will never work this way. The Spirit is always going to challenge our understandings that we would come to. It comes to prove the world wrong. And so it comes to disrupt our ways of and patterns of thinking, value systems that we would bring about. And we hear Jesus say quite clearly, it will prove the world wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. In short, it will prove the world wrong about our understanding of God. That's what all three of these ultimately are wrapped up in. Sin, of course, is when we miss the mark of what God would have us do. And so, without the Holy Spirit, we may think we're doing great. We'll think that we don't need God, or that we're doing everything that God would ask us to do. But the Spirit, of course, will prove us wrong on this and reveal the ways in which we have strayed, the ways in which we haven't quite gone exactly in the path that God would want us to do. The very next point is the reason this will happen. We don't understand righteousness apart from the Spirit. We don't know what good things God would ask of us if the Spirit would not lead us and guide us. Jesus tells us very clearly that I am the one that you can look to see how God would ask you to be in the world, but I'm going back to the Father, and the world will not see me or recognize me. And so the only way for you to know what God would have you do is if the Advocate, the Spirit, would come and tell you what God would have you do. And if you don't have that, well, then see point number one. And then, of course, this last issue we hear is this notion of judgment, which, of course, is the discernment of right and wrong, and being able to accurately apply when something is good or when something is evil. And, of course, this is something we want to be able to do ever since we ate that blasted fruit. We are aware that there is good and evil, but we do not understand it. And so the judgments we would arrive at are ultimately going to be proven wrong by the Spirit that will reveal to us the true judgment of right, wrong, good, and evil. And as part of this process, we hear that this being proved wrong in terms of judgment has to relate to the ruler of this world standing condemned. Now, earlier in the Gospel of John, we hear Jesus tell us that this ruler, it's described in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's the evil one, sometimes Satan, sometimes it's darkness, evil, death. No matter what label we want to attach to the ruler, we get the sense that this is not where we want to be. This is the one who's going to lead us astray. This is the one that will lead us to sin and death. And yet it's the ruler of this world that we serve when we render judgments that are not in line with the Holy Spirit. And we see that happening in our reading from Acts. There are people making judgments here about what is going on, independent of the Spirit. And they are the ones who are sneering and scoffing at the Spirit's power. And in doing so, they are following, of course, the ruler of this world. They are encouraging people not to recognize the power of God at work, not to hear of God's deeds of power, not to know the ways in which God has stepped in to redeem and offer salvation to all. That, in a nutshell, is what the ruler of this world will seek to do. That is the path of death, of darkness, of sin. And so we need someone in Christ to condemn this ruler, to drive this out, and to offer us the new life that we truly need, and to share with us this advocate who will lead us into this all truth, that will help us see the ways in which we may have gone astray before. Of course, this is a difficult process. We know all too often that people get sucked back into the world's paradigms, the world's value systems and judgments. And at times we will think with absolute certainty we are behaving in righteous ways, demanding justice, only to discover once the Spirit moves in that we have worked for disharmony, brokenness, and sin. This is the challenge that we have. The good news in our story, of course, is that God remains at work. God is still sending this Spirit. Still, Christ is still advocating for this advocate to be shared with us, that we may be led into this truth, strengthened and nourished by the Spirit to bear witness to the things we have seen God do in our lives. And yes, God will even name us and claim us as God's own beloved children. It is this Spirit who will open us to recognize our need for God to move and to work in our lives, to know the redemption that we need. Amazingly, we hear in our second reading today that the creation seems to have this same Spirit. The creation is groaning and yearning for the new life and the redemption that God is bringing about. The creation recognizes the ruler of this world and the tyrant that it is, and says, I do not want this anymore. I do not want to be subject to death and to decay. I want the new thing that God is bringing that will restore us to where we should have been all along. So creation seems to have the Holy Spirit and groaning for this new reality to take place. Which of course seems strange to us because often we link creation and world in our minds. And so we think, how is it that the world is going to get it wrong and have a ruler of the world? And yet the creation has the Spirit and is groaning and waiting for God to condemn this ruler and bring about new life. Well, I'll let you sort that out for yourselves, but I think it gives us a clear indication of what it means to be created by God as good, and that this is the place that God wants to bring about all of creation, all of the world in its entirety back to as we drive out the powers of sin, death, and darkness. And so we know that we who have the glimpses of this Spirit, who have received the first fruits of the Spirit, are to join in with creation here and long for the new reality God is bringing about, that we too groan inwardly as we await the fulfillment of this adoption by God, as we await the full reality of being made sons and daughters, children of God, and we get to experience this redemption that God is bringing about. And of course, we know that hasn't fully happened, as our author of our second reading tells us, and so we hope. We stand ready to wait for this life that God is offering to us. And it is the Spirit that empowers our hope, that allows us to continue to hold fast to this confession of faith in the midst of a world that will tell us that we're drunk and full of wine when we express the Spirit in its midst. This is the Spirit that will allow us to keep to our confession and will uphold us in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our own weaknesses, bearing our prayers to God, and hearing this good news that we have truly been redeemed and restored, made whole through Christ. This gift of the Spirit is what we will desperately need each and every day of our lives, and we get to see that Spirit being poured out here today, offered in this gift of baptism, which will name and claim Lincoln and Amelia as God's own now and forever, just as we heard in those same waters that we were named and claimed as God's own for forever. But in this gift of baptism that they will share, they too will be given tongues of fire that they can bear witness to these deeds of power that God has done for them. They will bear witness alongside us in this whole community of faith as we get to go forth and celebrate and share this good news of God's amazing and abundant love. But of course, such an effort has to be nourished and sustained. That it's not just a one-and-done deal, but it's something we come back to, this gift of baptism and this gift, this feast that we share in today, is where we find our nourishment and our strength. Christ enters in once more to share with us these words of truth that tell us we have been redeemed and restored, made new. And here we find, through Christ's own body and blood offered and spread and won, new life again. And we discover in this meal today that we share this presence that allows us to remain anchored to that spirit. And here at the table today, we'll also welcome Cooper and Lars to join us in this feast for the official first time, but first of many to come, as they too will find the same things we have experienced through this feast, the nourishment and strength to continue in our lives of faith. We too will continue to find Christ's presence here that offers us forgiveness and new life. And so we see today this abundance of God's gifts on display, the gift of the Holy Spirit that continues to lead us into all truth, the gift of holy baptism that we find ourselves sealed by that Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever, and the gift of this meal, where Christ enters in and continues to nourish and sustain us with the very presence of God in our lives. And for these gifts that help us see not only the presence of God, but also to bear witness to that presence in the world, we can only say in response for such gifts as these, thanks be to God. Amen.